With SDPB News, I'm Jackson Dirks. With the announcement of new tariffs on lumber and other furniture supplies, many braced for higher prices. But one South Dakota business owner says he's not feeling the pain from the Trump administration's latest round. Eric Sinclair is the owner of Montgomery's, an Eastern South Dakota mattress and furniture store, and he says things have been relatively stable on their end.
There's been some tariff activity. It has not really affected our business, and a lot of our manufacturing partners have just eaten a portion or all of the tariffs up to this date. So we have seen, you know, some minimal price increases, but nothing crazy.
That tracks with data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics that shows U.S. consumers are paying 4.65% more on furniture and bedding compared to last year. Furniture tariffs are going to 25%, but a lot of furniture tariffs are already at 20%, so the difference isn't as noticeable to consumers. Sinclair says he doesn't expect any drastic changes.
Some of these new rounds of tariffs, I think there's a lot of people still waiting for the details on them. I know a lot of our manufacturing partners are sending us correspondence saying that they're waiting for more information to come out of the out of Washington, D.C. And out of the White House as to what specifically is going to happen. But it looks like right now a lot of the new rounds of tariffs do not stack on the old tariffs. So it's probably going to be fairly minor.
He says the Chinese tariffs will stack, but most of the industry has moved away from using Chinese products anyways. He adds that a lot of manufacturers in the furniture industry have gotten used to the volatility of tariffs.
We've seen a lot of movement in where our product comes from, and a lot of these people are accustomed to having to move to a different country to go around some of the tariffs.
To his surprise, Sinclair says customer demand hasn't changed either, despite some of the increased media coverage of tariffs. For Montgomery's, it's business as usual. New one-time federal dollars could transform healthcare in rural states like South Dakota.
It's safe to say, I think, that there's going to be a sizable investment in rural healthcare in South Dakota.
That's Governor Larry Roden talking about federal dollars the state could get to improve healthcare access in underserved rural areas. The money is possible through the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which created a $50 billion fund dispersed over the next 5 years called the Rural Health Transformation Program. It's designed to improve access to hospitals, recruit and retain clinical workforce talent to rural areas, and foster other positive health outcomes for rural areas. Governor Larry Roden's office is at the front of the issue as they gather information on what to do with the potential investment.
Well, I think a lot of questions more than input on what it's going to look like. And of course, we're on the front end of getting a lot of those questions answered ourselves. So it's going to be an evolving process as we get closer and things start coming into focus as far as even like how many dollars we can expect in South Dakota, how big an investment that'll be.
He says they continue the search for comments, ideas, and input on transformational projects in the state. Some of the most underserved people in South Dakota are individuals on tribal reservations. According to the South Dakota Department of Health, as of July 2025, part of every reservation was classified as a medically underserved area and experiencing a shortage of primary medical care. Governor Roden says he doesn't specifically know if the tribes have given input on the issue. However, he says he expects they'll have a bigger bite of the apple.
Certainly they will be impacted more than most people in South Dakota. Because of the rural, nothing's more rural than where the tribes are located, especially in western South Dakota.
State applications to the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services are due next month. As cold weather moves in, the West River Retired Senior Volunteer Program, or RSVP Plus, is looking for winter apparel to donate for veterans. They're working with the Cornerstone Mission as part of Make a Difference Day, October 25. Specifically, the group is looking for men's and women's coats, new socks and underwear, gloves, and gently used sweaters and sweatpants. The donation deadline is October 23rd, and the donation box for RSVP Plus is in the bus depot across from City Hall. The number of individuals on parole in South Dakota who are evading parole supervision, or parole absconders, is below 100, down nearly 400 since 2022. South Dakota Searchlight reports the 97 parole absconders still on the run is at a 15-year low in South Dakota. The Department of Corrections created an absconder apprehension unit in 2023 to lower the number of absconders. The DOC entered a partnership with the U.S. Marshals Service to help the efforts as well. The U.S. Marshals Service says in 2 years, the partnership has led to 250 parole absconder arrests. The 2025 Black Hills Powwow is reported to have broken many records, including the most dancers at once. 1,800 dancers filled the Monument Arena at once, filling the floor with traditional dance. Alongside the powwow is the Indigenous Peoples Day Parade through downtown Rapid City, and festivities ended Monday night with a full afternoon and evening of music in Main Street Square. This was the 37th annual powwow, which closed Sunday night. A biotechnology professor at Mount Marty University has been tapped as the next university president. Mark Brown joined the faculty in 2023 and developed the university's first biotech management program. The online program offers options up to a master's degree. Prior to MMU, Brown attended Colorado State for his undergrad, earned his master's from Georgetown, and received his doctorate at Texas Austin. Brown also performed research for the Institute for Cellular and Molecular Biology in Austin and worked with the National Science Foundation. His predecessor, Mark Long, announced his retirement after a decade running the Catholic Yankton Institution. Long will officially step away from the helm at the end of the year. Frank Liebfarth, a USD graduate in physics and chemistry, has been named the 2025 Laureate in Chemical Sciences for the Blavatnik Awards. It's a major honor for early career research nationwide. Liebfarth, originally from Yankton, earned the recognition for his approach to plastic pollution solutions. His goals are to find new solutions to upcycle plastic waste and remove PFAS, or forever chemicals, from the water system. Access to healthcare in rural areas has and continues to be an issue across the world, the United States, and here at home in South Dakota. However, people believe technology and artificial intelligence, or AI, could change that. That became a talking point at the 2025 Sanford Rural Health Summit in Sioux Falls. For many in South Dakota, healthcare isn't a close commodity. People have to travel across the state's rural geography to gain access to suit their needs. As technology advances, something virtual care could step in and fill some of those gaps. That includes telehealth. Some versions of telehealth have seen success in South Dakota, such as Telemedicine in Motion, which provides emergency medical service providers across the state virtual access to emergency medicine experts for better response calls. Dr. Atib Mehrotra is the chair of Brown University's School of Public Health, as well as a panelist at the Sanford Rural Health Summit. He says telehealth could address the lack of care rural patients get compared to their urban counterparts. However,
in 2025, at least the data that we have seen nationally, it's done the opposite. We see that urban patients are much more likely to use telehealth, and that gap between rural patients and their urban counterparts has not shrunk, which is what I was hoping, but has increased.
He says that means something needs to change.
It's not the technology can fix this problem. It's rather how we're deploying it right now in the United States. And so that's really what I'm focused on, which is how do we change the way that we're using telehealth in the United States so that we can finally address that big gap.
Other talking points of the panel was the role of AI in the hospital setting to better support issues rural providers come in contact with. One particular issue the experts hope AI can address is the shortage of nurses, doctors, and other health professionals. Emily Berry is a nurse and the chief nurse evangelist at Epic, a healthcare software company. She says AI could definitely help in some places, but she doesn't think filling the nurse shortage is a possibility.
What we're finding, of course, is that when you're using the AI, you really are taking all the waste, all the low-value work out of the system. You know, clicking for the sake of advancing a workflow is now a thing of the past, and we're working on really truly making it a thing of the past. And what's left is, again, that kind of last mile to the patient. And I think that's where nurses in particular have a critical role.
She says she thinks it's nurses that are able to bridge the last mile where technology stops. Dr. Atib Mehrotra echoed similar sentiments, saying the tech can't solve everything.
I mean, I would go back to the nursing example here, which is that there's been so much emphasis on tech. It's a great idea. It's providing so much. But at the same time, we still need clinicians. And I feel like we're neglecting the concerns about do we have enough physicians? Do we have enough nurses? Do we have enough physical therapists? We have shortages. And yet our society is not really focused on how to address those shortages. And I don't think technology is going to fix that problem. So we need to work on that in parallel.
He likens the current climate around innovation's rapid growth without time to have proper research behind it to the, quote, Wild West.
In so many cases, our history of medicine has been littered by great ideas that, and for some reason, in reality, didn't work out. And so I am worried both by the fact that we're introducing so much without the evidence. It's going to harm patients in our pilot testing or trying things out.
He says he admires the innovation and creativity to use tools, but the healthcare ecosystem right now doesn't reward evidence. Dr. Nwora Ayagu is a partner at Thrive Capital, who is also on the panel. He says with the innovation and technology available, this is a chance to change healthcare access for everyone.
We have an analogy we use a lot of, like, binoculars versus telescopes. You can use both of them to see far, but if you talk to actual astronomers about telescopes, they'll tell you, no, the point of a telescope is not to extend your vision. The point of a telescope is that you can see spectrums of light that you can't see otherwise. And I think of AI the same way, that the point of this is not to, okay, well, doctors and nurses do these tasks, so therefore we're going to do these tasks efficiently. And yes, we should do that, but if that's all we've done in 10 years, we failed. What a doctor does in 10 years, what a nurse does in 10 years, should be fundamentally different from what they do today.
He says that could have a ripple effect beyond just South Dakota or even the United States.
But to me, it's more important when I think of what America is. We're the city on the hill, right? We're the light on the hill. We're supposed to be a model for the rest of the world. If you think about the world, right, 3 billion people in the world live in rural settings. So it's actually an even bigger problem worldwide. And to me, I think a lot about if we can solve it here, right, are those things that we can export to the rest of the world, the 3 billion people who live in rural Earth.
He says figuring issues out locally and remotely could benefit everyone. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks, and that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thanks for listening.